So good to see all of you here this morning. What a wonderful audience. What a wonderful gathering. This beautiful Sunday morning that we're going to study God's Word, having to wear one more Sunday the mask, right? But don't worry. Do not worry. The masks do not stop the praise. The masks do not stop the heart. And the masks do not stop the worship. We're here for Him. We're here for our Lord. And we're whatever we need in order to do that. We're going to study this morning about selfishness. I know I did not see your Facebook post so I could do this lesson. That's not the reason why I'm going to talk about selfishness. I didn't see your Facebook or your Instagram or your Snapchat. No, that's not it. Selfishness is one of those things that I have been thinking a lot lately, especially since studying a lot about myself. I've gotten to know myself a lot. And I noticed that a lot of these things about selfishness, I have those, or I had those, or I'm still struggling with some of those. So in a sense, I am selfish, and this lesson is for me and for you if you are struggling with the same type of selfishness. We had the scripture reading in 1 Peter. That's going to be our last reading in our lesson today. So the first thing that I want to do with you today is think about three things. Number one, when did you start being selfish? Or when do we start to be selfish? Well, see, when we were very little, if you had siblings, you know, you didn't want to share your toys. And of course, the lesson from mom and dad was, don't be selfish, share. So sharing always went along with not being selfish. But I think it goes deeper than that, right? What makes a person selfish? Is it the possession? Is it something that they have that is of value that they don't want to share? Is it the concept that this is so special to me, I don't want you to destroy it? What makes a person selfish? Do you consider yourself selfish? I'll tell you, I do. Sometimes. What is selfishness? Concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself. Now, that's interesting. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. We're going to go deeper in it. Seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without the regard for others. Now, see, selfishness now is hurting other people. My selfishness can actually hurt other people. Some people might confuse selfishness with self-care, which we're going to look at that in just a minute. I don't expect you to read all of that. I have a printout. But those are the signs of selfish people. Selfish people are very good manipulators. Selfish people are uncaring toward others. Selfish people plot and scheme against you. Selfish people are conceited and self-centered. Selfish people find sharing and giving difficult. Selfish people don't accept constructive criticism. Now, that one hit hard. Selfish people believe they deserve everything. Selfish people do not listen to those who do not agree with them. Selfish people criticize others behind their backs. Selfish people exaggerate their achievements. Selfish people take pleasure in playing mind games. These may describe you. This may describe someone you may know. This may describe some people. And for this reason is that all of these signs, and there are even more. These are only the few ones that I was able to put in there. But even though these signs are there, we are going to be hurting other people if we continue to be selfish. Now, let's get to the Word of God. Let's get to the Bible. Let's move on pretty quickly. I forgot to put my timer, so I'm going to put it 30 minutes from now. Is that okay? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. This is from the ESV. And this is very important that you know what the situation that our world is in. And you tell me if this is true or not. This was true during Paul's time. See, one thing that I notice every time I read the Bible is that there is nothing new under the sun. This has been forever. And I mean, since human beings, Cain and Abel, think about it. Eve, think about it. All this time, the I want this for me, it's been there. How do we stop that? For people will be lovers of self. Now, isn't that interesting how Paul starts talking to young Timothy about that? People are going to be loving themselves more. Now, let me rephrase that. Not only with themselves more, but also just loving themselves only. They'll be lovers of themselves. They love everything that they do. I wish I could go more into this verse because I have so many this morning that we're going to be looking into. Also, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpleasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that is the key word, or the key words and the key phrase that we're going to study today. James 3:16, for every jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Anytime that there is selfishness in a place, there's going to be trouble. Somebody is going to have a lot of trouble when there is selfishness around. Think about that for a second as we move to self-care. What is self-care? It's about taking care of yourself. Is that selfish? Nope. Taking care of yourself is not being selfish. That is taking care of self. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you have to love yourself. That's very important. So where is the difference between being selfish and loving myself? There is a thin line, there isn't. It's actually a wide line. When I love myself, I'm going to take care of David. I'm going to make sure that David tries to be healthy. I'm going to try to make sure that David has a healthy mind, a healthy thought, a healthy prayer life, a healthy Bible study life, a healthy spiritual life. That's taking care of myself. But when I do that at the expense of others, then that becomes selfish. Think about that for a second. How can we be selfish as a dad? Think about all the absent dads. How many of us had absent fathers? They might be present at home, but they're absent because they need time for themselves. For self-care? I don't think so. Watching TV is not self-care. Taking care of the things that I want to do for myself that I couldn't do while I was working, it is not self-care. It is selfish, especially if you have a spouse, especially if you have children. That is selfish. And that's what we have. That's what we're dealing with. And look how it affects the next generation of boys, the next generation of girls that keeps on going, that keeps on going, that keeps on going. And everybody is affected by the selfishness of absent fathers at home. What about absent moms? What about moms who are overdoting on everything, who want the love of the child because they don't have the love of the husband? Somebody has to love me. Think about that for a second. Think about the selfishness that creates as a parent where I input on my kids the things that I like. And I've made that mistake over and over again. My oldest daughter, she was playing superheroes because that's what I bought her for Christmas. She wanted a doll, and I was like, no, baby, you want this. You want the Hulk. He how strong he is. He can fight. Yeah. You know, I was trying to put in here the things that I liked. You know, and that's just one example because we do that over and over and over. And sometimes the kids don't even enjoy the activities anymore because we're imposing things that we didn't have, that we didn't enjoy. If my dad didn't go to my baseball game, if my dad didn't go to my soccer game, or my dad didn't let me play soccer or anything like that, then I'm going to make sure that my kid does that so that I can enjoy that. That has become selfish. And it's okay if the kids enjoy it, though. I'm just saying, don't be selfish in imposing something on someone else that may not be interested in that. What about being selfish as a parent, maybe in the church? Have you thought about that? Are we being selfish with God? Do we only want God when we need something? Do I only come to become a Christian because God is going to give me heaven? Is that it? Is that the whole purpose of my Christianity? Is that the whole purpose of why I am here? So that I can go to heaven? That's it? That's a little selfish, don't you think? Because the way that I think I'm going to get to heaven is not the way someone else is going to get to heaven. And because of that, I'm going to start imposing my ideas on them instead of listening to what God has to say. You see the problem? That we need to be careful, especially for salvation, that we do not start imposing things because of what we like. It's about what God says. It's about Him always. Worship has always been about God. It's never about me. We should take self out of the equation. We need to take self out of everything. Otherwise, we have become just like the world. If it's not about me, then I'm not happy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. What does God say about that? Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also of the interest of others. What is so important about this verse is that a lot of times we think that if I'm helping somebody at work to get ahead, that's a bad thing. I need to get ahead first. I need to be first. That's why when there is a traffic, I'm swerving from lane to lane so I can be first the next time I go. So that, you know, anytime anybody's at any line, they're always trying to walk in first before the door closes so I can be first, so I can get out first. But have you noticed how God says that we need to change that attitude? It doesn't mean that you don't need to climb the ladder. It doesn't mean that you don't need to get ahead. It just means that when you're trying to get there, help other people to get there with you. Help other people to go ahead with you. Help other people to climb with you. That's what Christianity is. This is not a competition. It's not a competition who can preach the best, who can sing the best, who can pray the best, who can do whatever the best. We are all in the body together to get to heaven, to the Father. It's not a competition. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:21, in the same book, the same chapter. You see, we need to start looking at the things that Jesus says, this is what I want, instead of looking at the things that we want. Do you believe we can do that? Is that possible? Will it be possible to be unselfish? Wait, did I say that? Selfless. Is it possible to be selfless? It is. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can be selfless? Because it doesn't matter what I believe, it won't matter what God says unless you start thinking, I think this is possible to do. So if you think that this is possible, let's go ahead and move on. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You know how important it is for us as parents, as men of the household, to set this example at home. It's not about what I say. What I say goes. Yeah, I don't think children are listening to that now. Do it because I say so. That's not going to work. I'm telling you, it's not working. It's not working. This is the example that we need to do. To do the will of the Father. Our household should be run the way God intended it to run. Not the way David Durantis wants it to run. Not the way Nisha Durantis wants it to run. I missed my last name. Anyways, it's not about who wants to run it. It's about what God says. Look at the example that Jesus gave to us. He came to live in this world, and he did exactly the same thing. Was it difficult at times? Oh, yes, it was. Especially during the last times, during the last days, during the last week. It was difficult, but not impossible. He had to get closer to God in order to finish the task. Look at John 4:34. Jesus explained, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We are not in this earth, on this earth or in this world just to be here. I want you to see that. I want you to see that God has great, great plans for you. He put you on this earth to accomplish great things for Him, not for you. The moment you start believing that, you'll start realizing that now your job, your life is going to be focused on what God says and not what I want. It's not about doing this for me anymore. It's about doing it for the Lord. How do we do it? Ephesians 6:5. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear, trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Let's focus on that word, sincere. Sincere. We have to be sincere. What does that mean? Is that just something that we say, okay, yeah, I really love you, I'm sincere about it? No. Sincerity denotes action. Sincerity denotes that I'm putting myself out there on your behalf. How do I know I'm loved? People know the love languages, right? You know about that. Everybody expresses love different. Everybody receives love differently. So guess what? How does God show us that He loves us? When He gave His only Son, the thing most valuable, most precious to Him. How do we know, or how do we show that we love God? When we give what is most precious to us. The rich young ruler did not want to give up the thing most precious to him. And that was his riches. Sincerity. That which we hold dear. Verse 6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. If you had a question, here it is. Eye service, people pleasers. Yes, men. With the type of personality that I have, I'm going to tend to be a people pleaser. It's hard for me to say no to people when they ask something because I want them to be happy. I want them to be fulfilled, in that, if that is the word. But you know what is the problem with that too? That a lot of times you don't do it now for God. You start doing it for people. So to please people. And the moment you start pleasing people, you stop pleasing God sometimes. You have to be careful with that. Our heart and our mind needs to be connected. Our feelings, our emotions need to be connected with our rationale, with our logic, that whatever I do is going to be for Him. Because I know my place. What I am is a bond servant of Christ. That's what I am. Rendering service with good will as to the Lord and not to man. That is how we do it. This is how we stop being selfish. When we start thinking about God, what God wants, and not about what I want. Because if God is asking something of me, I have to find a way to do it. Because it's not about my personality. It's not about what I like. It's not about what I, even, in fact, not even about what I can do. It's about what He says I can do. Because if He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, He is telling me that because that is possible. Because it can be done. So when God asks something of us, it's because it could be done. It can be done. It's hard, but it can be done. But I have to trust Him. I have to empty myself and stop thinking how David likes things, how David does things, and this is not how I work. Stop being David. Start being Christ. How do we do it? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What a wonderful, beautiful, powerful verse that is. Repeat that over and over and over again. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. Put it in your mind. When you wake up, when you get up, put that in your mind. I am dead. or I am dying, I'm being crucified with Christ. It is no longer what I want. I'm here to live, to do what he wants. That is the true testament of selflessness. Because it is not my will, it's his. Think about that for a second. How can we apply that in the family? For once, with your kids, do what they want to do. Ask them what they want to do. They want to play in the mud. It's a good time to teach a lesson. Let them play in the mud. Gonna die, I promise you, for playing in the mud. They're gonna get sick, they're gonna have worms, but they are gonna live. Well, that's if they eat it though. Just don't let them eat it, but let them play in it. For once, do what they want to do. Let the kids pick what they wanna do for family night. Is it a movie? Fine. Is it reading a book? Fine. Do it. Playing with dolls, men, you'll still be men after that. Play with dolls. There's nothing wrong with that. Let the kids decide. Let your spouse decide what they want to do. Where do you want to go on vacation? Where do you want to go eat? Where do you want to go do today? What? Just let them. Let the older person surrender your will to them. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be rewarding. Because all this time that we have been selfish or that we are selfish, we are hurting the ones we love every time. Every time. I'm gonna keep on reading. And the life I know I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, key phrase, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see? Loving someone is giving up self. You have to give up yourself. You have to give up the things that you think are only for you. You have to give up yourself. It's no longer I who live. And then we're going to finish with our verse today of 1 Peter 3, 13 through 18. I just want you to look at a few key words that are in there. We're not going to read the whole thing. I know I put it in there, and I don't want you to read it. I want you to open your Bible. I want you to open your app, and I want you to look at it, highlight it, underline it, because that's what's so important about these verses. These verses that Peter is talking to a group of Christians who have been out of sorts, who have been scattered, who are under persecution, and now he comes to tell them, now, who is there to harm you? Think about that for a second. Who do you think is going to hurt you when you belong to God? Who's going to try to do something against you? Your government? Evil people around the world? There's always that. Who's going to harm your spirit? Who is that? For you are zealous for what is good, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. You know why we suffer sometimes? We suffer because of selfishness. We suffer because we're trying to compensate for something we didn't have or something we didn't enjoy or something, and it keeps on affecting other people around us. But if you are to suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. If you are to suffer because you're being unselfish or because someone took advantage of you because you were given, you will be blessed. God is saying, I have my eye on you, and I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you because you're doing good. Oh, that means I'm not going to die? No, that doesn't mean that. It just means that he's going to be welcoming us, and he's not going to let our soul get harmed. Have no fear nor be troubled, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Verse 16, having a good conscience. Nothing gives good sleep as a good conscience. So that when you are slandered, remember selfish people are going to talk about you. Selfish people are going to talk behind your back. Selfish people are going to have things against you. Selfish people, let me go back to the list here, are going to be giving you difficulty. Selfish people are also going to be exaggerating what happens. So, what do you do? Good conscience. It says that those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And verse 18 ties everything together for this lesson. For Christ also suffered once for sins. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And I think this is what summarizes our entire life, brothers and sisters. You gotta put to death the person that wants what they want, so that you can be alive in Christ. The reason why we are not alive in the church, the reason why sometimes we find it difficult to come to church, to participate in worship, to be part of the body, is because we are selfish. Because we haven't given up what we want. But if we are to surrender those rights, right? If we are to surrender those rights to Christ, you will be alive. That is the difference in Christianity. People are trying to make a living and they're thinking that that's alive. They go every day to the same thing over and over and over again, and they think that that is being alive. The only way to be alive is when you give up everything that you want, everything that you care for, and you give it to Christ and you say, Lord, this is all that I have. Would you please take it? This is all I have to offer. I'm broken. I'm torn. I'm imperfect. But this is all I have. Would you take it? And the moment that you do that, he's gonna give life to you. Being made alive in the spirit. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Are you ready to give your life to him this morning? This morning, we're going to be doing something different. I'm gonna end with a prayer. And then Joe is going to do the invitation song. But during the invitation song, we're adding something to the invitation going forward from now on. If anyone would like an elder to pray for them, or if you need to talk to an elder in private, some of the elders are going to be waiting in the elders' conference room for you to do that. It's over here to the right. Just follow the path where the coffee used to be, and then it's that little hallway right there. There's going to be elders there waiting for you to pray for you, to pray with you, to encourage you if that's what you need. If you need a private conversation, just talk to one of them and tell them, we are here for you. We are here to serve you, to take care of you, not only as ministers, as shepherds, as deacons, but as a family. We're the family of God. And if we are to take care of each other, we have to dedicate time for each other. Let's pray. Our most gracious Father, once again, we come before you this morning. As we think about our lives, as we think about the things that we do, Father, we pray that we give up. We give up ourselves, all these things that this world wants us to do, all the things that the world needs us to do. Father, I pray that we give up all of those up so that we can be with you, so that we can be alive, Father. We want to stop living through the motions of everything. And Father, we want to start living for you. Help us that as we start this week. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing.